The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
God is on the throne. God is in control. God is good. God is for
yes,
us.
He is. Yes,
and when
he
you
is.
Get that, you have peace yeah. for today and you have hope for tomorrow.
Hallelujah.
Best-selling author Sheila Walsh shares the hope of heaven and how it can radically impact your everyday life.
Because sometimes people think, well, I just have to get through this life and then I'll get home. No. The more I study about heaven, the more I want every single day on earth to count.
Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. This is my co-host, Tammy Trent.
Hello.
But before there was Tammy,
there was
Sheila. And she's back with us today. Sheila
yes.
Walsh is here. We're very excited. She has a new book called The Hope of Heaven.
So
and we're going to talk to her. So we're glad you're here, mm-hmm. Sheila. Welcome back.
It feels like old home week. It's so lovely to be back. And let me just say, Tammy, you're doing a brilliant job. I watch you guys, and you're doing a brilliant job. You really are.
That means a lot coming from you, Sheila, because you are the best. I mean, how could anybody step into your shoes? You don't. You don't look at that. You just say, what can I do? What are my gifts, and how can I grow in them? But you are amazing.
But that's what I love about you. You don't try to be anything other than the incredible person God has made you, and you're a great team.
Oh,
well, thank you.
You so much.
But welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's talk about heaven.
Yes.
which we try to. We tried to bring here on the set and to the viewers. Why this topic for you?
Honestly, Randy, I've written over 50 books. I have never written anything that has impacted and changed my own life more. And it really started out a place of despair, of thinking, I am so fed up with this earth. Mm. I'm fed up with all the suffering. I'm fed up with the heartache. Mm. You know, a dear friend just got diagnosed for the third time with cancer. And then I had my own little kind of freak accident where I thought I had broken my neck. And when I discovered I hadn't, I'd actually just torn ligaments. But I found myself asking the Lord, what is wrong with me? Mm. What is this huge ache that I feel inside that nothing seems to shift it? You know, I can have a good day or something goes well or I see a friend, but I still feel this ache. Mm. So that's why I began to dive into, because I opened my Bible up at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And read these words I've known for years. But have you ever read something that just suddenly jumps out the page?
Yes, yes.
And it said, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race you're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that glorious finish in and with God, so he could put up with anything along the way. And I thought, that's it, Lord. What I'm actually homesick for, what I'm feeling sick for is heaven, because we were made for Jesus and we were made for heaven, and nothing else is going to do.
Yeah. Do you think our age has a little more to do with it? Because I think the older you get, the more, I mean, you know, you lose. It's one thing when you lose your grandparents and you're young because you think of them as old, and then it gets your parents and then it's your turn. I mean, isn't
yeah, I get
natural?
That, but I honestly don't think so, because if you think about, I don't know a time in my life where there's been more anxiety and loneliness among young people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about even our own son's age. And yet when I begin to share with them, because here's the, I mean, if I was just summing it up, heaven, when you understand truly how phenomenal it's going to be, it gives peace for right now and hope for tomorrow.
Yes.
So it's not just like, oh, get us out of here, Lord.
Yes.
When you understand what's ahead, the peace that it gives for right now, I don't try and get rid of that feeling anymore. I embrace it as sacred space because it was a place that was made, and I'm not home yet. I'm just not home yet.
Why do you think that we've lost the hope for heaven? Do you think it's just, it comes from a place of just disappointment, this side of heaven? I don't understand heaven, so I don't even think it's going to be fun. So what do I really care? So I've lost the hope of heaven and even thinking about what waits for me.
And this, I think that's true, because when I was a teenager, obviously I wanted to go to heaven because it beats the alternative. But I thought it would be a bit boring. I mean, like, how many years can you sing he'll be coming round the mountain when he comes?
Exactly. And,
but in fact, even when I was a teenager, I said to my mom, if I have an unexpected accident and I die before you, bury me with some books, because I thought I need at least something to do. But I read this quote, And I have it here because I don't want to get it wrong. But this is Randy Alcorn. This is brilliant. Says, I believe that nothing is more often misdiagnosed than our homesickness for heaven. Mm. We think that what we want is sex, drugs, alcohol, a new job, a raise, a doctorate, a spouse, a large screen television, a new car, a cabin in the woods, a condo in Hawaii. What we really want is the person we were made for, Jesus, and the place we were made for, heaven. Nothing else can satisfy us. When I read that, when I was doing, because I researched for like a year, I wanted to know everything that Scripture said about heaven. And then what the saints, the current saints and those who've gone long before us, what they had to say. And it's literally been life-changing for me.
Am I going to have a job in heaven? That's what I want to know. Do I get a bunch of rewards? Do I get some jobs? What's it going to be like? I mean, okay, when I picked up your book, I was thinking, did Sheila find all the answers to heaven? Are they in this book? All the questions I've ever had. Will I have a dog? Will my cat be there? And I love that
chapter. Your dog over there. I'm not so sure about the cat. Yeah.
Not the cat. No,
just kidding. Just kidding.
Yes. But I did. I found so many incredible answers in your book, Sheila. And I just thought, as a believer, why have I not been taught this enough? Like, heaven is the destination. Like, that's, I should be wanting to live for that every single day, but I didn't feel like I'd been taught this enough. And I think that's what your book gave to me. It felt like the best Bible study on heaven I had ever read.
Oh, thank you.
It is so, so good.
Well, if you think about it, it's the whole point.
Yes.
I mean, we live these years, however many years, thinking we have to squeeze every ounce of happiness out of this and achieve certain things. But the whole point of why Jesus came was so that we could spend eternity with Him in heaven. And yes, you will have a job. But do you know that the choices you make now impact how you will live eternally? Because I used to think, well, we'll all basically do the same. No, Scripture's very clear. That's not so. Every single believer will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that's not about punishment. It's about rewards.
Okay.
No believer will ever stand before the great white throne judgment. That's for everyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you, Randy, you, Tammy, me, and you, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But it's what's called in Corinthians the Bema seat. Like when Paul was writing the church in Corinth, Corinth then was like Vegas is today. It's like what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. I mean, I read this thing from a sailor years and years ago, a ship's captain, who said not all men should go to Corinth because there's so many temptations.
Wow,
6,000 temple prostitutes. It was a den of iniquity. But it was also the place for the Olympic Games. And so all the stuff that Paul saw when he talks about running your race, and then he talks about the Bema seat, which is where the athletes go to get their rewards.
Yep.
Because sometimes people think, well, I just have to get through this life and then I'll get home. No. The more I study about heaven, the more I want every single day on earth to count. Because it's like Matthew 25, if you haven't read that in a while, it's brilliant. Whenever anybody dies, we tend to write, well, now they're hearing, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, where does Jesus say that? Matthew 25. He gives this story that a guy goes away, a master goes away, and he gives gifts. He gives Randy 10 bags of silver. He gives you five bags of silver, and he gives me one bag of silver. And when he comes back, Randy says, look what I've done. I've now got 10 bags. And you say, look, I've got four bags. I'm like, well, you know, you're very unfair. I don't think you're a just God. I just buried it. But here's what's interesting. Jesus will say the same to Randy as he'll say to you. He doesn't say to Randy, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on, let's celebrate. He says to you, he doesn't say, well, you've got four. That's not quite as great as 10, but you've still got four. He says exactly the same. Well done, Tammy. Yay, you did it. Come on, let's celebrate. So that's where the ground in front of Calvary is level. Because you look at giftedness in this world. I mean, I was recently with Andre Bocelli, and he's singing Amazing Grace, and we're in Times Square. And it's like, Times Square's nuts, but some of this hush as this voice. God gives some extravagant gifts to some people. And sometimes we think, well, you didn't give me as much as you gave them, so I'm just going to bury it. No. Whatever God has placed in your hands, do everything you can with it, because then the reward will be, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, Randy. Well done, Tammy.
So,
praise God.
Okay, so the heaven, right, I get that. You know, and I try to remember that this is not the novel, this life we live. This is the prologue,
yeah.
Right? Heaven is the main thing. Mm-hmm. Yet there's a lot we don't know about heaven.
Oh, for sure.
And I think the reason is if we knew more, we'd all be ready to get there immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what do we know?
You know, it's really interesting because you remember when Paul wrote the church in Corinth, he said to them, listen, 14 years ago, I was taken to paradise and I saw things I'm not allowed to talk about, I can't talk about. I'm sure there were no words to be able to get. And the word they use there for paradise is like a king's garden. It's like if you were to go to the palace and he's showing you around his favorite place. This is where I go to walk every day. Paul was taken there and can't talk about it, but it impacts everything he says. And that's why he's able to say these light and momentary troubles. Because the people he's writing to, they're going through terrible things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of the viewers right now, you're going through terrible things. Yeah. But the reason he could say these are light and momentary troubles was because he would say, guys, hang in.
If you I've seen, if you only knew what's
ahead for us, these will seem like light and momentary troubles.
So hang on to what we do know. Don't worry about what we don't know.
Well, yeah, I think there's things that we don't have the capacity to even begin to understand.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things like, is your dog going to be in heaven? Well, of course.
Yes.
I mean, hello.
Yes.
I'm talking about God here.
Yes.
I remember a little girl said to Billy Graham once, will my dog be in heaven? And Billy Graham said, would that make you happy?
Mm.
And she said, yes. And he said, well, I'm pretty sure. Mm. If you think about the way that God created in the beginning, I mean, for a start, Adam and Eve were not born as babies. They were born in what presumably was the prime of life, which is what many scholars believe the age we will be in heaven. If a baby was premature in heaven, the baby will probably be 30 years old, 30 years old. Those who die when they're 90 will probably be about 30. And that's, we don't know that for sure.
Yeah, that's a guess.
That's just a guess. But based on a lot of things, all the animals will be different. Isaiah talks about the fact that there's no carnivorous animals anymore in the new heaven and new earth. It says that lions will eat hay as the oxen do, and the lion will lay down with the lamb. So the shedding of blood is done with. By the time we're home, there's not one more drop of blood's going to be shed because Jesus shed it all.
That's interesting. And, you know, we could speculate about things all day long. But I think the more important thing is really what Jesus talked about, which was the kingdom of heaven, which is the rule and reign of heaven on this earth. How do we connect the eternal, the wherever it is, up there, out there, I don't know, you know, with right now, right here?
Yeah, that's a great question, Randy. Honestly, and that's the question.
Yeah.
For me, the reality of heaven and the closeness of Jesus to me is more, I'm more aware of that now than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Our neighbor, we live next door to this really sweet woman, her name's Stephanie, and she said to me the other day, she said, I was watching you at the window because I walked my little dog around the lake, and she said, you look like you're about to bump into a tree. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, you were looking up and grinning. From the minute I get up, I have this thing where I'm just like, good morning, Lord, hello. Mm. And my daily prayer is, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to see today?
Yeah.
You know, what do you want me to hear today?
Yes.
What person am I going to bump into? Because you're right, Randy, the reality of the kingdom, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
So you and I, we're just like God's boots on the ground. We're God's secret agents. I think we should get a patch or something that says we're secret agents.
Yes.
Because,
I love it.
Yeah, there's something we carry. It's like Sammy Rodriguez said, every time you walk into a room, the atmosphere should shift because of who lives in you.
Mm.
And I love that because I think, you know, we've come through, last year was a political year, and that's always so much fun for everyone. But we get so caught up in what we think matters for the moment that we forget that no matter who occupies that house in Washington, God is on the throne, God is in control, God is good, God is for us.
Yes,
and when you
is.
Get that, you have peace for today. And you have hope for tomorrow.
Hallelujah. You are one of the best storytellers in the world. And you have so many stories. When I read your books, I'm like, how does she remember all these stories?
It's I have a husband with a good memory.
That helps you. But you are so good. You're truly one of my favorites. But as I read your book, I want you to share this story because I loved it. Tell us the significance of the story of Pastor John Harper.
Oh.
Loved this.
Oh, gosh, he's so amazing.
Yes.
You know, he was this incredible Scottish minister, and he'd been invited to come to America and preach at Chicago at Moody Bible. church, which was a huge honor. I mean, back then, and he was very excited, but he's on the Titanic. And as the ship begins to sink, and all the women and children are on the lifeboat, some men, but he's not. He has a life jacket, and he's in the water. And he knows he's going to die. I mean, he knows there's no help is coming. And so anybody he passes in the water, he'll say to them, "Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior?" And this one man says, "No, I don't." So what John Harper does is he takes off his life jacket, and he gives it to this man, and he said, "You're going to need this more than me. Wow. You need a wee bit more time than I do."
Wow.
And minutes later, John Harper disappears under the water. 4 years later, all of those who survived the Titanic are meeting together, and that man stood up and said, "I was John Harper's last convert." Mm. Because that night, in the water, having been thrown that life jacket, he said, "What I got was he didn't need it, because he knew where he was going. I needed it because I had no clue."
It gave me hope, even like this is the way I should live every day.
Me
too. I should live every day like this, like looking for an assignment, looking for an appointment, looking for an opportunity. Like if you had the cure for cancer, you would want to tell somebody.
Yeah.
We have the cure to life, life after this life, and freedom and paradise and all that God has for us, such a fulfilled life. There is so much more than this and this moment that we're facing right now. And I think it just, it set my heart on fire. It gave me a new vision for heaven, a new vision for my relationship with Jesus, and wanting to tell others about him. I want to take off my life jacket. I'd love that to be the last thing somebody said about my life. Like, I was her last. That's what she did right before she fell into the arms of Jesus. I mean,
I
it's incredible that you give me so much hope. The Hope of Heaven is your book, but you give me so much hope about heaven. I read this, Sheila, I told you, thinking about Trent. Mm-hmm. You know, how much would I think about my husband who's gone to heaven? And you know, I thought more about myself, actually, which was surprising, like all the things that await me. And every once in a while, when you touch on loss and grief, I would go to Trent really quick and think, what is he doing? I could only imagine, and you helped me imagine even more what that might look like in the truth of God's word. Not just, okay, we can speculate this, and there's some things, yes, we don't know, but there was so much in your book that was beyond speculation, that was solid word of God teaching, and that's what I can base my hope on today.
Absolutely. It's so interesting. When our son Christian, who's about to turn 28, in high school, he read Mere Christianity, which is one of my favorite books. So I reread it again while I was preparing for this, and C.S. Lewis talks about that thing I talked about, that ache, that kind of, there's something wrong with everything. And he said, there's three ways we deal with it. We deal with it externally, where we think, if I just got that job, if I could just marry that person, if I could just have a baby. Or we deal with it internally. We resign ourselves to, this is as good as it's going to get. It's not terrible, but it's as good as it's going to get. Or we live with it eternally, where we think, no, that's why I feel this way. I'm just not home yet. And that to me was huge. It makes sense. You don't try and crush that place. You embrace it as sacred space.
Can we talk about this some more?
Yes, I'd love to.
I want you to join us in that. But right now, I need to ask you a question. It's a very important one, maybe the most important one you've ever heard. Will you be in heaven? If you don't know the answer to that question, we have a telephone number where you can talk to someone. Just pick up the phone. Someone will pray with you, talk with you. Yes, you can read your Bible. You can go talk to a pastor of a good, solid, Bible-believing church. Do something. Talk to a friend that you know is a Christian. You need to understand what it means to be born again, because you must be born again. Then you will have the hope of heaven. There are many other people right now who need a little touch of heaven themselves. Life in other countries, poor countries especially, can be a little like hell, unfortunately, and death reigns. We have the power to share heaven with them, and we invite you to do that. Watch this, and when you decide to join us in this beautiful outreach of heaven, you can request Sheila's book, The Hope of Heaven. We'll gladly send it to you. But most of all, you get a chance to express God's love to other people right now.
Amen. We've spent time in this village here today, and we've spoken to various different mothers. We've been understanding their story, the challenge, the plight that they face, the suffering that this village is going through because of a lack of clean water. not a lack of water. There's a lot of water, as you can see behind me, but there's no clean water in this village. They don't have a well here. This is their only source of water that they come and collect water. It's dirty, it's disease-filled, contaminated water that they have to carry back to their families. Mothers who have two options. One option is that they could not give their children water at all. They know the outcome of that. It's pretty rapid, and it steals their children's lives. The other option is to give their children this dirty, contaminated water, and so that's the option they go for. And yet they've told us how they've lost children. We spoke to a grandmother, heartbroken, as she explained that she was the caregiver of the child. The child lost its life because of this waterborne disease. You could tell that she just felt so bad, so broken for what she had done in her mind. But the truth is, she could do nothing else because she had no option. She told us, as many others have, that they know what the solution is. The solution is a water well in their village, because that will give them fresh, clean water and save those lives. We know the need. The one missing component is you. I'm asking you to help us to bring Mission Water for Life, to drill a well and provide fresh, life-giving water to the people who are suffering so desperately. Please do it before another child's life is stolen. This is a crisis, it's an emergency, and if we don't meet their needs now, we are going to lose more children. Please give the gift of water, give the gift of life before it's too late.
You have seen a need. Will you respond? I believe, as followers of Christ, it is not just our duty to respond. When something's within our power to do good, we do it. I believe that it is an honor to be able to go into those villages and say, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, and we give you life in the form of clean drinking water. What more beautiful expression of heaven, as we've been talking about, is there than to give life to people who they don't know us, you know? We don't owe them anything. Why do we go? We go because we have been given the water of life eternally, which is Jesus Christ. And out of that, we want to share life with others. Tammy, it's hard to go these places, to hear these stories, to see the graves, the death, but we have to go.
Yes, we do. We're called. At least, you know, I have felt that calling on my life for a really long time. Mm-hmm. To not just feel sad, but to take action and to try to help where I can. And when you go into these villages and you see these little tiny graves, knowing that little babies are dying, children are dying because of the lack of clean water. When you're there, it's honestly something really hard to wrap your heart around, because you think, I've never struggled for water. I've never struggled for the need for clean water. But these people are suffering every single day, and they don't have an option. They don't have an option. This is all that they have. They will walk for miles and miles and miles until they get to this, usually a mud hole. And they know. They know that is killing them. They don't have any option. Just as Randy said, the greatest part of this story to me and why I feel called and why I want to be a part of it is that I know that we can go in and make a difference. I know that we can change this for them. There is a way. We can bring them hope. We can bring them life. We can relieve the stress, the pain that they feel, the suffering that they feel, and give them a better way just by giving them a cup, many cups of clean water. And we can do it today. Let's not wait. Let's not hesitate. These people are waiting to live and to choose life. So let's do it together right now. Our goal is 350 wells in 20 nations. And what that looks like, so that anybody can get involved, is for $48, you can provide water for 10 people. For $144, you can provide water for 30 people. And if you are in a position where you can actually help us drill an entire well for an entire village for the rest of their lives, you know what that looks like? Just $4,800. Now, I know that's a lot, but in some ways, when I think about it and what it will bring to these people and these villages, Randy, $4,800 is not that much to bring them life.
You can't put a price tag on life, and you can't put a price tag on the gospel that we share with them in word and deed. So just pause, say, Lord, what would you have me do? We'd love to send you Sheila's book with any gift today, but more importantly, we'd love for you to be a part of this beautiful expression and urgently needed outreach, Water for Life.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Dr. Don Cobert's new book, Spiritual Health Zone. Discover the key to living in divine health as you find a roadmap to adding joy, peace, and years to your life. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the He Restores My Soul candle set. This decorative candle and match set will inspire you to remember the restoring presence of Jesus, the true light of the world. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, inspired by Revelation 5:5. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Please do go online or go to the phone. Make the best gift you can. Let's share heaven with people who need to feel that touch from God. It comes through you. Bless you for doing that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to come back. We're going to talk more heaven with Sheila Walsh.
Yes? I love it. I'd love it.
You got more stories?
I have more stories.
I want to hear more stories.
They're good. They're my favorite. And thank you so much for giving me a clearer vision of heaven in such a hope, a renewed hope. I pray that that's what it's done for you today. You need to get this book. And with any gift that you're able to give today to come alongside us in ministry, we want to sow this into your life. So just request it when you call and we'll get it right out to you. Thank you for watching. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Next week, James and Betty share how their calling and purpose intertwines with your calling and purpose.
That's what we're doing together, and we're not going to stop.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.